All right, brethren, let's take our Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I have a message this morning that is very needful for believers, and I hope the Lord will give us an understanding here to enter into what's being taught in this passage. Let's read one verse here, 1 Corinthians 12:27. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. Ye are the body of Christ. Ye are the body of Christ. Now this speaks of Christ's spiritual body. This is speaking of the church of God. It's speaking of each individual believer who is a member in particular, just like your hands and your nose and your ears and your eyes are members of your own physical body. Each individual member is each individual believer is a member of Christ's body. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. Now lately it's become more evident to me, and it's given me much cause to thank the Lord that He's given us something very rare and very special in this place. He's put you who believe in the body of Christ. He's given us the rare privilege of being in the body of Christ. He's put you who believe here and given you a heart. I do believe this. He's given you a heart constrained by the love of Christ. Constrained to believe Christ. Constrained to honor Christ in your worship of Christ and in your lives. Constrained to love and care for one another. For each other. This love can't be established by commandments of men. It can't be established by threatening. It can't be established by a promise of rewards or anything of that nature. This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. He said, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. This work is accomplished by the spirit of the Lord, by the power of God. And it's accomplished through the means of the constant hearing of the gospel. The hearing of God the Father's electing grace in Christ before the foundation of the world. The continual hearing of Christ Jesus, the Son of God, who came and effectually redeemed His particular people by His blood on Calvary's tree. The hearing of God the Holy Spirit, of His regenerating, calling, converting, keeping, preserving power towards His people. And it's my prayer that God will continue to grow us. He'll continue to keep us and continue to grow us in this love for Christ and for one another. Now you are the body of Christ and members in particular. Now that's a powerful reminder to us. It's a reminder to us of three things. Three things. Number one, that God alone is to be praised for His grace toward each of us who are in Christ's body. He's the only one we have to praise for this glorious privilege He's given. It's by His grace we're in this body. Number two, it's a reminder to us of our union with Christ, our inseparable, unchangeable union with Christ, and our union with one another, with fellow believers in Christ. And number three, it's a reminder of the great responsibility and the privilege of serving Christ. And of serving Christ particularly by serving one another. By serving fellow members that are in the body of Christ. First of all, this blessing reminds us that God alone is to be praised for putting us in the body of Christ. Look back up in verse 2. Now, let me remind you, the church at Corinth had some problems. And one of the causes of those problems was that God had given special gifts and operations and administrations to various ones in the church. And there were others in the church that didn't have these gifts and didn't have these administrations and didn't have these operations and even had a need of these administrations being ministered to them. So there was a twofold problem here. On one side, you had folks who were proud of their grace. And on the other hand, you had folks who felt like they were not needed and they were not necessary because they had needs. Now listen to what he tells us here. For those who are proud, he reminds us of this. Verse 2. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Brethren, we were Gentiles. We were carried away unto dumb idols. That's what we were. Every one of us here today that's been saved by God's grace, we had some idol carved out in our imagination. The God who wants to but can't is an idol. The God who died for everybody but accomplished the redemption of none is an idol. That's an idol God. The God who must wait on man's puny will is an idol. That's an idol. And all the while that we serve the idol God, we may have called on the name of the Lord, we may have used the name of the Lord, but we didn't mean it in our heart. We thought we were God. We came by our will. We were pleasing God by our works. We were the judge and the jury of God. And poor little helpless Jesus, we were controlling Him in our mind, in our imagination. Calling Lord, Lord. And we may have said we were doing that by the Spirit of God. But here's what we were doing. We were calling the Lord Jesus accursed. It says in verse 3, I give you to understand, no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. Now, we may have claimed to be speaking by the Spirit of God. We may have claimed to have been. But saying that the blood of Christ is common to all men, that Christ died for all men but accomplished the redemption of nobody, that's to count His blood a common, worthless thing. That's to call the Lord Jesus accursed. And no man that says that is speaking by the Spirit of God. No man's going to call Christ accursed who's speaking by the Spirit of God. He's speaking by His own Spirit, by His own power. But now, who do we have to glory in that we can, from a new heart, from a true heart, we can say now that the Lord Jesus is Lord, that He is God come in the flesh, that He is God who accomplished the redemption of the people given Him before the foundation of the world, that He perfected them forever by His one offering on the tree. Who do we have to praise that we can say that? Only the Spirit of God. Look now, verse 3 again. No man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. God the Father put us in Christ, and God the Holy Spirit quickened us and brought us to confess that the Lord Jesus Christ is Lord of lords and King of kings. Paul said back in the first chapter, he said that no flesh should glory in His presence. Of God are you in Christ, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. That as it is written, He that glories, let him glory in the Lord. We have one to glory in. So brethren, if we ever find ourselves becoming proud of our grace, and thinking we've been gifted, and that we've got something above another member of Christ's body, let us remember where we were, and who it is to be praised for where we are now. He put us in the body. He called us out of darkness into light. He alone is to be praised. Now, secondly, this great blessing of being in Christ's body reminds us of our union with Christ And it reminds us of our union with one another as members in the body of Christ. Look at verse 12. Verse 12. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12. He says, "For as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ." The human body is the illustration he's using here. But he's speaking of Christ's body. He's speaking of the church. From the top of our head to the bottom of our feet, it's just one body. It's one body. Verse 12 says, "For as the body is one, but our body has many members." We got many members in our body. Some are seen. Some are seen for their usefulness. We see the usefulness of some of our members. You see the usefulness more prominent of your hands and of your eyes and of your nose, or your hands and your ears and your nose. Other members are not as noticeable, like your feet or your ears, for instance. Yet each member, every member, though different, though they're different, though they serve a different function, they're still a part of that one body. Verse 12 says, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular." Christ is the head. Christ is our head. And every believer is a member in particular, and together we make up the body of Christ. All right, let's read verse 13. "For," here's how this happened, "by one Spirit," now notice these words, "by one Spirit," "or we all," "by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all," everyone at all, "made to drink into one Spirit." Now, we come from different backgrounds, but we're all made one body by one Spirit and made to drink into one Spirit. Now, this doesn't speak of water baptism here. It's not talking about water baptism. Water baptism and baptism of the Holy Ghost are two different things. Remember, John the Baptist said, "I baptize you with water unto repentance." He said, "But he," Christ, "that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." Water baptism doesn't regenerate anybody. A dead sinner is a dead sinner. I mean, he can go in the water all he wants to, the waters of baptism. That's not going to regenerate him. That's not going to unite him with the body, the spiritual body of Christ. Only the Holy Spirit regenerates. And only the Holy Spirit unites us to the body of Christ in our experience of it. Now, it's possible to be baptized in water and not to be regenerated and not to be united into the body of Christ. That's a possibility. But our text here is speaking about regeneration and conversion and sanctification of the Holy Spirit. Verse 13 says, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body." In 2 Thessalonians 2:13, Paul said, "We're bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ." So this is the baptism of the Holy Spirit, regeneration, sanctification, being separated out, converted to Christ, united to Christ by the Holy Spirit. Now, no matter what our carnal station is in life, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter where we came from, what our background was, what kind of distinctions we tried to make about ourselves beforehand. It says there in verse 13, whether we're Jews or Gentiles, whether we're bond or free, we have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Every true believer is a partaker of one Spirit. We're a partaker of one life, Christ our life. We're made to drink into one Spirit, and therefore we're one in Christ in Christ our kinsman redeemer. So, remember our union with Christ. That union will never be severed. It'll never be severed. What God has joined together will never be put asunder. That is certain, brethren. So remember this union. And this union makes us members one of another. It makes us united to one another. Forever true believer. All right, here's the third thing. Now, I want you to pay close attention to this because, you know, when we read Scripture, this is such a simple illustration Paul's given here. And we're apt to think we're so wise. We're apt to think, oh, I understand that. I get that. And maybe God will dumb us down and we'll get this because this is stated so simply and yet it's so profound. It's the wisdom of God here. Now, listen carefully. Being in this body is for the purpose of showing us our responsibility and our privilege of serving Christ by serving one another. And also it's for this reason. It's to teach us Christ's ability to provide for us using these individual members that He's put in the body. It's to show us Christ providing for us. Let's see this. Now, though we're one in one body, we're different members with different gifts for different purposes. All right, verse 14. The body's not one member, but many. The body's not one member, but many. In our physical body, each member's different. Each member's different. Now, look back up at verse 4. He says there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, different kind of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it's the same God which works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with. It's not given to make our boast and brag about gifts. It's to profit one another. There's a purpose for this giving of these gifts. Now, these differences were making some members in the church at Corinth feel inferior. It was making them feel unnecessary because they had needs. They didn't have these gifts. They had needs. They were on the other side of this spectrum. They had needs and they needed to be provided for. And so they were feeling unnecessary. Now, remember Paul said, are you not yet carnal? They weren't understanding what this is about. They weren't understanding why it is I have this need and this other has these gifts. I want those gifts, they were thinking. Well, this is something we need to get. Now look at this carefully. Verse 15. He said, if the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Now, let's just look at this illustration. You take the foot. It may appear inferior to the hand. Our foot may appear inferior to our hand. The foot doesn't serve as noticeably as the hand does. It's not as noticeable. It's not as prominent. The foot's covered up. It's not seen. It's not seen. It's not recognized. The foot's closer to the dust of the earth. It's lower. And let's say the foot represents somebody who has less obvious gifts, or, as was the case here, somebody who had a need. They had a need. And the hand represents somebody full of good works, somebody that has gifts, somebody that's been blessed of the Lord with gifts. Now notice the question in verse 15. If the foot, this one who has a need, this one who has less gifts, has a need, something of that nature, if they shall say, well, because I'm not the hand, because I don't have those gifts, and I don't have those blessings, and I don't have that abundance, I'm not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? Are we to imagine there's one chosen child of God, one child of God that Christ came and redeemed with the price of His precious blood, one child He's called out of darkness and put into His body, that there's one child that Christ values less than another? No way. No way. Is there a member of our body that we value less? Is there a member of your body that you say, well, I'll just cut that off. I don't need it. Eric, you don't answer. Eric had his appendix removed this week. But no, there's not members that we just want to cut off. They're not members that we say, well, that's just not important. I'll just cut that member off. And also remember this, who gives and who withholds? Look back up at verse 11. The selfsame Spirit divides to every man severally as He will. The Holy Spirit divides to the man. He gives. Ephesians 4:7 says, unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Now, do we imagine Christ would count one less when Christ is the one who made them less? When Christ is the one who didn't give that measure of grace to them? Of course not. Of course not. A bruised reed shall He not break, and the smoking flax shall He not quench. If there's one bruised child of His, He's not going to break that bruised child. If there's one smoking and doesn't appear to have light or something, He's not going to put that one out. But where there's a gift or an operation or an administration or a need or plenty, there's a reason. There's a reason. Wherever there is a gift, wherever there's an operation, wherever there's administration, where there's a need or where there's plenty, there's a reason. Look at verse 17. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? And if the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? You see, each member in their appointed station serves an individual purpose for every set time in the church of God. At every time in the church of God. Every member in their appointed station serves an individual purpose for that time. If every member here was a preacher and there were no hearers, this wouldn't be a body. If every member here played the guitar and nobody was a singer, this wouldn't be a body. Our all-wise God places each member, He puts each member, whether they have or they don't have, whether they're blessed in abundance or not in abundance, whether at some point in time they have a particular need or whether they're at that point in time they have an abundance. He puts everyone in the body as it pleases Him. Look at verse 18. But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased Him. And we're using a body as an illustration. You remember when Moses complained about his speech impediment to the Lord? You know how the Lord answered him? The Lord said unto him, who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb, or deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now get this, right now, whatever our condition is, whatever yours is, whatever mine is, right now, where we are, our ability or our inability, our gifts or our lack of gifts, our needs or our fullness, who placed us in that body, in this body that way? He did. Our God did, as it pleased Him. Now look at verse 19. And if they were all one member, where was the body? Where's the body? But now are they many members, but one body. Brethren, if we all had the same gifts, the same operation, the same administration, if we all had fullness, we would not be a body. We would not be a body. If you were just an eye, you wouldn't be a body. If you were just a hand, you wouldn't be a body. If we were all the same, with all the same gifts, all the same operations, the same administration, the same fullness, we wouldn't be a body. But now there are all these varying gifts and these varying operations, these very needed administrations. That's what the body is because that's what Christ has made it to be. That's what He's made it to be. Are you following me? What's the purpose? Why is that then? There's got to be a reason he's made it this way. Look at verse 21. It's for this reason. The eye can't say unto the hand, I don't need you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. We may be like the eye. We may say, well, I don't have a need of the hand. But you know, in our body, if you get something damaged in your eye, what's the first one that comes to the aid of your eye? Your hand. Reach up there and try to get that out, whatever it is in your eye. Well, just look at verse 22. No, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble, they're necessary. They're necessary. Do you seem to be more feeble? Do you feel like you're more feeble? Well, don't despair. You're necessary. You're necessary. Every member of Christ's body, whether he's gifted or he's less gifted, whether he's in need or he's prospering, he's necessary. Even those that are in the body that are more feeble are necessary. You see, think about this. If Christ gives an administration, but he didn't give a need for that administration, what would be the point of having that ministry? What would be the point just to go around and say, well, I'm so-and-so, I do so-and-so, but you don't do anything? You see, he gives a ministry to us as he gives a need to us so that we can minister to that need. When one believer becomes weak in some way, while God has increased others in some way, that's not by accident. God doesn't do anything by accident. That's done on purpose. That's necessary. Why? He's giving an opportunity, and he's given a privilege to those that he's increased to bear the burden, to strengthen the hands of the member who he has given a need. And he's done it to teach us all that it's Christ our head who is providing for each member in his body. Let me show you that. Turn over with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Hold your place here and turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Look at verse 15. Verse 15, he says, speaking the truth in love, we may grow up into him in all things which is the head. Even Christ, the head of the body, Christ. From whom? From the head of the body. The whole body is fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. The joint here are those fellow believers, those fellow members. You see, Christ has joined us together. He's compacted us together by that which every fellow member supplies. How do they supply it? According to the effectual working. This is the effectual working of Christ. In the measure of every part. That measure means according to him giving the gift of grace to each member and working effectually in them to supply the need of that member in need. And by this, look what he does. He makes increase of the body. Not these temporal, physical things you can see, but a better increase than that. He makes an increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. He makes us love him, and he makes us love one another by this. And he compacts us together that much closer by doing that. By joining us together, by using us to provide for one another. If I have a need, and Christ provides you to meet that need, I shouldn't complain about my situation. I shouldn't. And I shouldn't put on this, false humility and say, well, I don't want you to provide for it. I shouldn't reject you meeting that need. You know why? Christ says it's necessary. He says it's necessary. He says He's done it. He says He's done it. Christ is ministering to each member in His body, showing each believer in His body in a practical way that His strength is indeed made perfect in our weakness. This thing's not a theory. This thing's not a... It's not just a teaching. It's not simply a doctrine. Christ is doing this in His body, in His church, using the members one of another. And it's Christ that gets the glory. He's the one doing it. He's the one doing it. Look at verse back in our text, 1 Corinthians 12:23. Now watch this. This is what He works by this now. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. We do this with our physical bodies. When we have a member that's in need, we bestow more honor upon that member. If it's a finger or something like that. And by doing so, in Christ's body, each member has more abundance. And nobody's lacking. Look at verse 24. For our comely parts don't have any need. You ever bandaged up your arm when it wasn't hurting or sore or had any problem with it whatsoever? It doesn't have a need. Our comely parts have no need, but God has tempered the body together. God's done it. And God, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that part which is in need, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. That's what He's teaching us. That's what He's teaching us by this. You see, God uses a fellow member, but it's God who's given the honor, the one in need, and He teaches the members to have the same care one for another. Look at verse 26. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now, you are the body of Christ. He's been using this illustration of a physical body. Now He says, now, I'm talking about you. I'm saying you are the body of Christ, and you are these members in particular. You know what that makes me think? That makes me think God is so wise. He's so wise. This is what He's doing with His church, and He's so wise. And you know what it makes me do? It doesn't make me look at my body, my physical body, in the same light. Next time I have an injury with my eye or something like that and my hand reaches up and tries to care for it, you know what it's going to remind me of? It's going to remind me of the care of my brethren for me and the care of my head, Christ my head, for me through my brethren. Isn't He wise? Isn't He wise? You just think, everything that's made to illustrate God and His wisdom and Christ and His wisdom, it's not just that He looked at it and said, that'll illustrate it. I'm going to use that. He made it to illustrate it. So every heathen walking around that hates God and won't bow to God, won't have anything to do with God, in His body and all His members, He's a walking illustration of God's glory in His church, in His body, with each member in particular. Isn't God wise? We're going to glorify God whether we like it or not. He's made us for that purpose. Amen. All right, brethren, let's stand together. Heavenly Father, we thank You. You continually show us how Christ is our wisdom. You show us how He's working in our midst continually. You continually teach us little by little, giving us just enough that we can chew on and digest, just enough to grow us. Lord, we don't always look on our needs. We don't always look on our suffering and the things we need as being a true blessing and seeing how it serves a purpose and how You're edifying Your body by it. But help us to see, Lord, that You really are, that it's necessary, that You're teaching those brethren that You've given more abundance to. You're teaching them. You're teaching the one in need. And next time when it's reversed and we're in need, we'll see more clearly why You're doing these things. This is how You increase love. This is how You make our hearts want to walk after You and want to be with Your brethren and want to follow You. Lord, we thank You. Forgive us of our sins and our murmuring and our being proud of our gifts or murmuring over our necessities. Thank You, Lord. We have all fullness, all provision, all the time in Christ our all. Amen.